Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good brothers and sisters, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers presented by Progressive Insurance. So Carson Wentz has a new nickname. It's not Colts Commander. It's now Commander Wentz as he's part of the Washington football team. I'm still trying to get used to Washington Commanders. It's going to take more than a minute. Colts get a third-round pick this year, a third-round pick that can become a second next year if he plays 70% of the plays, and a second-round pick in 2022. The Commanders get their quarterback, Carson Wentz, and a second-round pick. Now, we know that players talk Key and Jay all the time, that guys want intel on certain players, especially if they're coming to their team and everybody thought he's going to be with the Colts for more than a minute. It only lasted 1 year. Keyshawn, if you two are teammates and you've seen and you heard all you wanted to hear about Carson Wentz, what is either going to be your initial reaction or how are things going to happen with you and him in that same locker room?
You know, I guess my initial reaction is cool. Okay, we got Carson Wentz. I don't subscribe to negative outside noise about one's personality or behavior. As long as his personality and his behavior is not, I'm not hearing racist things. I'm not hearing bigotry, mean-spirited. I'm good. As long as I'm not dealing with that when it comes into the locker room, I'm more than willing to give a person the benefit of the doubt. It's a clean slate with me when you are. Who am I to judge? I got to get to know you because there's always two sides to a story about a person's play on the field plus a person's personality. Is Carson Wentz might sit next to me, most likely, if he was being traded to a team, when I'm already on it, they're going to put him next to me in the locker room within a couple lockers. That's just the way it's always been. And we're going to have some sort of bond and relationship. I just know because I know my personality and I know who I am. And so I'm just like, whatever. Until you show me something different, how can I judge you?
Yeah, I think it's always cool, like just straight off GP. Like it's always going to be fine at the beginning, that honeymoon phase. But as soon as you throw one of those shuffle passes, as soon as you start doing some weird stuff, Key, it does feel like Carson Wentz is on thin ice, right? Now, that ice can become thicker with the better he plays. But if he starts the season off by doing some of those things that you've seen him do down the stretch for the Colts, people will be quick to start giving him that side eye. Like, yo, what are you doing, man?
Well, yeah, you can have a conversation. You can have a conversation with his ass. There's no question about it. And you see, I use the word ass because I just got mad. The fact that he would throw a shovel pass unnecessarily when he's not supposed to. So at that point, I can have that conversation with him and say to him, what are you doing? Doesn't mean that I dislike him. It just means as a leader on the team and within the locker room, I can pull him on the sidebar and check him up and get his attention.
Key, as a leader of men, like, I know he's physically tough. Do you think Carson Wentz is mentally tough? Does he have the mental force? I know you're going to say, I do not know. But I'm asking you, from what you've seen, the body of work, does he have the mental fortitude to lead you to a high level on the football field? Do you believe that? Yes or no?
See, why you – then you
–
they gave me the button before.
Man, stop being goofy and let me answer the man's question.
Seriously.
The problem – that you have with me is that I'm willing to give him a chance because how I feel is that no matter who I'm with, they gonna be okay. That's how I feel. I've played with some not so good quarterbacks, but I always approached it with a positive attitude despite what people may have said in the media along the way about the way that I approach it. I've always been a teammate. I've always been a class act when it comes to my quarterback. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he could learn how to become mental tough because guess what? He's around me. And I can get his ass to be mentally tough because my conversation with you, Jay, is different than Coach K's conversation with you. It's just a different way that you communicate with people to make them feel a certain way to get them to do what you want them to do on the football field. Hopefully that answered it in a roundabout way.
That was real.
It's real.
It's 100.
I think, you know, it's like treating it with white gloves to a degree, Key, because you have to put a lot of time, energy, and effort as a grown man with kids and your wife and your family into that relationship. And I just, when you look at the history of the way Jalen Hurts won the position from him with the Eagles and how we've talked about this, and Key, you're the one to tell me, Jay, they're so fragile. Quarterbacks are so fragile.
They are, and so you have to play psychology with them, mental psychology, flip the script. You have to put your arms around them and make them comfortable, make them feel like the world, everything is okay. The outside noise is just white outside noise, it's background noise. You don't have to worry about this. I'm here for you. I'm going to make you look better. Just get me the damn ball and we'll be fine. That's the reality.
See, Freddie, you see that part, though? Get me the damn ball. As soon as he don't get him the ball, though.
No. But see.
Not just that,
Getting me the ball will make you be okay, which means that it doesn't have to be a 40-yard strike down the field. It could be a simple slip screen. It could be a reverse. It could be a fly sweep. It could be a hitch. It could be a slant. Just utilize the talented players around you and allow them to bring you to the promised land. When you try to do things on your own, the shovel pass, unannounced shovel pass a couple times during last season, they didn't ask him to do that. He was trying to do too much. And when you try to do too much, Freddie and Jay, that's when you get in trouble.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as tune in. Here's something else I thought about in terms of he's getting another chance to be a starting quarterback. But could it be his last chance to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League? Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, said this about that on NFL Live.
The reality for Carson Wentz is he's got one season to save his career as a starting quarterback in the NFL now. Now that this trade has happened and the Colts have decided to move on from him, I think that this season coming for the Washington Commanders and him, it's the opportunity for him to save his career as a starter.
It's amazing that a guy who had 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, got his team close to the precipice of getting to the playoffs, and that has now become a conversation with Carson Wentz. That is this the last chance to save his career? We're not talking about a guy that has fallen off a cliff. That's not what we're talking about. But everybody goes back to what happened in that last regular season game versus Jacksonville, and that all of a sudden, Key and Jay, has become a referendum on is he or can he be a guy ever again? The same guy that we saw before he tore his ACL the year he played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and then he won the championship without Carson Wentz.
Didn't you say that last year, 2 years ago, when he lost his job to Jalen Hurts? Didn't you say, well, this is it for him. Oh, my God, he's going to probably be a backup. And then what happened? The Indianapolis Colts threw a lifeline to him, gave him an opportunity to be a starter again as a first round, gave up a 1 and a 3 to acquire him. And a year later, Freddie and Jay, they move on from him, right? So a couple weeks ago when Chris Ballard said what he said, we're like, oh, man, he's going to wind up being a backup for somebody, blah, 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 blah. Washington just gave up a third-round pick, that could be a second-round pick depending on the percentage of time that he plays, and another second-round pick. Because why? Because they believe in Carson Wentz. So they threw him another lifeline. And I understand where Dan is coming from, but Dan is wrong on him being a starter. This is his last stop if he doesn't get it right. This is his last stop walking in as to be a starter, but this is not his last stop if it doesn't work out in Washington, having an opportunity to be a starter. Because in the NFL, unlike the NBA, Jay, the NFL has one league. The NBA got many leagues that guys can go play at when they're done after first-round picks. He was the second pick of the first round. They're going to continue to keep giving him chances until such due time that they can't. Jeff George got a million chances, right?
Yeah.
Jake Plummer, Jay Cutler. I could just go on and on and on and on about quarterbacks getting opportunities to be starters when everybody gave up on them, because there's always somebody that says, I can fix that guy. I think he can help us. That's the only thing.
It just feels like his brand is becoming more and more diminished, right? Like the more stops that he ends up having, Key. And it feels like.
Yes, that's correct.
Are we talking about Carson Wentz turning into like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, like this guy that just goes to all these
man,
different
Ryan
teams.
Man, Ryan Fitzpatrick still get chances to start.
I hear you. That's what I'm saying, right? But Key, I ask you in a funny way. It's like, how many times can you take the food out of the refrigerator, put it in the microwave, heat it up, let it sit, put it back in the refrigerator, then take it out, eat it again? Like, it's how many times can you reheat until the same food, man?
Until it's all gone.
Oh, that's nasty.
You boy, until it's all gone. Freddie, no. You done heat that thing up. It done got hard. You done put it back in there, softened it up again, ate a little more. It took us all gone.
When you hungry, you'll make some decisions.
Absolutely.
You'll make some business decisions when you hungry.
Absolutely.
Y'all nasty.
When you starving, you will make some business decisions that you have to make.
You can eat around the crust, all that.
When you poe, you can make some decisions when you hungry. Believe that. This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We're going to stay on the Carson Wentz machine, and can he actually provide some leadership in a place that is known for having leadership or not having it, meaning Washington? That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
And welcome to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I can't wait to see the T-shirts. Commander Carson with the Washington football team. I'm still going to call him WFT. I can't get used to the Commanders. But either way, he's now part of that organization. Let's bring in an FOS friend of the show. Diana Rossini does a great job as an ESPN NFL analyst and reporter. About to give you that Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Diana, I'm going to start right there because if they had their way, Russell Wilson would be the Commander Russell instead of Commander Carson when it comes to being a quarterback, but that didn't happen. And also seeing that they had an interest in Jimmy Garoppolo and then who, Aaron Rodgers, who knows. But how did they end up with Carson Wentz in Washington after only 1 year in Indianapolis?
Well, first of all, Freddie, it's great to hear you in this time slot. You do a fantastic job,
Thank you.
It's great to be
Appreciate you.
Hello, boys.
The voice of God.
Hey.
Yes.
So we call Freddie the voice
really
of God.
Really is. Freddie, you've got
You
me
and Morgan
through.
Freeman, you guys are in a sheer battle.
No, I'm losing that battle. Morgan's winning that 100% of the time, believe me.
I've listened to you many of the hours on the road before, so it's great to talk to you here. And obviously, guys, what a week in the NFL. It's I don't remember anything being this exciting and almost a little surprising at times. I mean, I know the quarterback market was going to be strong here, and we knew that there was going to be a lot of changes, but this is wild. I didn't think this would all happen this past week, and coming from Indianapolis, where I was there for the NFL Combine, you normally hear a lot of whispers when big stuff like this is going to happen, and I didn't hear that much. I didn't know it was going to be like this. But that being said, I talked to a lot of people at the Washington organization in Indy, and look, they were all in on just trying to get a quarterback, trying to figure out who was going to be their guy. So obviously striking out with Russell Wilson and not being able to land that deal, because at the end of the day, Russell Wilson, he just wanted to play in Denver. That was the team he had been doing work on, research on, as much as they were doing research on him, getting that package ready for him. That was the destination for him. I think he even shared on the Today Show. He didn't want to live on the East Coast. So it made sense. But from the Washington perspective here, Ron Rivera, I think, feels a little bit of that heat knowing that they need a quarterback. If their defense can just get back to playing at the level we saw two seasons ago, we know that they were a little bit of a dud last year. They have ability to be really good in a weak division. And I think Carson Wentz, Freddie, gives them a good opportunity. When you see these receivers, we know how fast they are. They've got a good run game.
Yeah.
And when Carson makes good decisions, and we know that's going to be offensive coordinator Scott Turner's probably biggest challenge is helping him with timing and being decisive. When you look at the weapons around him, if it can work, it will work well. Mm-hmm.
You know, Diana, you mentioned something that was interesting because of Scott Turner, right? And I have these conversations with Jay to try to get Jay to understand it's not really about Carson Wentz. It's about the people that are the decision makers on calling the plays. If you go back and you think about the Indianapolis Colts, what are they built on? A solid offensive line and a running game. So if that is the case, then guess what you do? You run the damn football as much as you can, and you don't rely on a quarterback. But because of the Frank Reich relationship and history with Carson Wentz, he made himself feel like he owed it to Carson Wentz to show off his arm at times when he shouldn't. And I don't think you approach it that way in Washington with him, Jay and Diana. You decide at times if he needs to make one or two or three throws, you allow him to do that, but you establish a strong running game and a short passing game until you need to take a shot or two and play defense.
Yeah, and he made some bad decisions, but he also took a lot of sacks, if you recall that too. But and Key, you make a good point. You know, I do think at times that Colts offense really didn't put the game on the shoulders of Carson as much as you would have seen in Philly, let's say, 2-3 years ago. But let's just talk about like the overall reaction of this trade from around the league. You know, everyone was talking about it yesterday, obviously. Players, coaches, are just talking with guys in the division. And as much as I think we can criticize Carson, and look, three different teams in three seasons, that's tough. You have to feel for him a little bit in that space. But nobody ever shies away from being open and saying he's a talented player. He's a starter. You know, people, you know, in Washington right now are having that debate. Is this really an upgrade from Heinicke? Yes, this is an upgrade.
Absolutely. Yeah.
From a physical specimen standpoint, yes. Right? Let's just start there. Carson is a big dude.
But see, I just wonder, Diane, from a mental capacity, from that perspective, seeing how things ended in Philadelphia, now seeing how things ended down the stretch, losing to the Jags in Indianapolis, like what mental toughness am I getting from Carson?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the biggest question mark, right? Because, you know, we're hearing a little rumbling about the type of leader he was. The Athletic had a really great article and some inside information about, you know, Carson Wentz the leader, how he connects with players. I do believe in giving players a fair chance in a new organization in Washington and seeing if that can work. But yeah, I think that's going to be the challenge. And you look at Indy Key and that offensive line is not the same as it was in years past. You know, I know we showed a clip there of him getting sacked a lot, and I mentioned it. But you know, this is where Washington has got to make sure that they protect him. And it is going to be about that run game. And, you know, this is why I don't think we're going to see the Washington Commanders in free agency going after, you know, an Allen Robinson-type receiver. I think they're going to stick with the guys that they have there because if they can get that quarterback that can take care of the ball, I think it can work.
Now, you mentioned Indy. What now what? What does Indy go from here? Is it Matt Ryan? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it Jameis Winston? Like, they've got issues that they've got to figure out. And I'm sure they didn't go into this thing trading away their quarterback without a contingency plan in place.
Yeah, you have to figure Chris Ballard can run an organization pretty well, and as he's proven over the last few seasons. Key, let's not forget, too, though, Frank Reich and Chris Ballard did just sign 6-year extensions, right? So they're in good shape. Okay, so they did that during the off season here. So, or actually, you know what? I think they did towards the end of the regular season. Either way, they're in good shape there in Indy. But, you know, speaking with some people in the Indy organization, trying to get a sense, what's next? Where are you going? You know, they're doing their work on Jimmy, right? Jimmy Garoppolo is obviously a name that's out there. But I sense there's a little hesitation there because of the shoulder. They don't want to go through that again. They don't want to deal with the quarterback with the shoulder situation. So I think they're going to be a little patient on that. I know that they're not in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. I was told that that's not something that they're looking into. And then, you know, there's been a couple rumblings. Chris Ballard had interest in Jordan Love when Love was going through the draft process. And I'd heard that that's not something that they're going to dive into at this point. And I'm not even sure if Green Bay is willing to give up Jordan Love. But that being said, so what does that leave you? Or who does that leave you, right? Yeah, Marcus Mariota out there. I don't think that would make sense for that offense. Mitchell Trubisky is a name, a hot name coming out of Indy in terms of, you know, teams being interested in him, which also tells you, by the way, that we are in a quarterback drought in terms of talent. And I'm not saying Mitchell's not. I do think he has some characteristics and leadership ability that I think he could be really good at a second chance here, depending on where he winds up. But he actually shared with Schefter that Indy was a team that was interested in him. So, look, Key, somebody said this to me yesterday, and you know, I don't think this is stuff that we like to talk about or fans want to hear, but what if Indy's saying next year we're just going to build around the quarterback position and maybe not go and pay a lot of money for a quarterback? Perhaps maybe just draft one, stick with who we got with Sam Ehlinger on our roster, and roll with that until maybe the following, you know, next season when we can get back in this. I think that's fair to say that that's on the table too.
Great stuff by Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL reporter and insider. Hit her on Twitter, Diana ESPN, joining Freddie Coleman, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max on ESPN Radio. I'm listening the other night in Spain and Fitz, and you said something interesting regarding the trade involving the Seahawks and the Broncos, that the Seahawks would not have done this Russell Wilson trade without a plan for what's next. All right, so now we're at what's next. What is that next, and how much could Deshaun Watson maybe a part of that next when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, that's definitely the other big question mark as we're talking about all these quarterbacks on the market right now, or at least on the street looking for homes, as well as those sitting perhaps getting traded. You know, you have to figure GM John Schneider, Pete Carroll here are not trading away Russell Wilson without a plan as well. Not sure if they're going to take that option that I just talked about with Indy with let's ride with whoever we can wind up with right now and not go crazy to try to find the future at this point in the season. You know, I reached out to Seattle to try to get a little bit more on their interest in Watson. I haven't really heard back, but it makes sense. It would make a lot of sense for them to go in that direction. And, you know, one of the other interesting parts about this is, you know, a lot of talk about Denver having, you know, three separate plans here before they traded for Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers was always A. That was always number one leading into that. And as much as Russell Wilson, or as much as Denver did work on Russell Wilson to see if he fit, Russell Wilson did tons of work on them as well. I was told he was in the building yesterday, meeting all the coaches, taking a tour of the facility. And people were pretty impressed with him. They were impressed with his knowledge of the organization, the history. And that was where he wanted to be. But the big question mark now is, you know, where does Seattle go? And I'm not sure at this point.
And a lot of people may be wondering that Russell Wilson gone, Bobby Wagner gone. Who knows? DK Metcalf may say, I don't want to be a part of this rebuild. I want to be out of here as well. We'll wait and see. Always a pleasure, Diana. Great stuff as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. Speaking of Russell Wilson, wait until you hear what Dan Orlovsky said when it comes to him and the new home that he's in, part of the loaded AFC West. That comes your way at the SportsCenter.
Booker holding on the logo with 10 left here in the third.
Doesn't want to screen. Wants to take Tyler Hero by himself.
He wants a three, and he gets the three right over Tyler Hero with 2.3 seconds left to go.
Arizona Sports 98.7 FM with that call, with that 111-90 win over Miami on Wednesday. The Phoenix Suns become the first team in the NBA to clinch a playoff berth. Devin Booker leading six Suns in double figures. He had 23 points to go along with 9 assists. 53-13 is the Suns' record. It is the league's best in the NBA. They're now 40 games over 500 for the first time since they finished the 2006-2007 season, 61-21. As hot as they are, Jason Tatum is keeping right in step with them. He scored 98 points in his last two games, 54 over the weekend versus Brooklyn and 44 last night versus the Charlotte Hornets in a 115-101 win. Celtics have now won 15 out of their last 17 games. How about Jason Tatum? He just became the sixth player since the merger to average at least 45 points per game over a three-game span. His 135 points over those sad three games is also a new record for the Celtics for most points in a three-game span. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball, if you're holding your breath waiting for the season to start sooner than later, you can let that balloon go. They canceled the second week of the regular season Wednesday after days of discussion with the Players Association did not produce a new CBA collective bargaining agreement. Major League Baseball proposed an international draft that would cover amateurs from Latin America and Asia to the removal of direct draft pick compensation. The players said no dice on that one, and they sent a counteroffer. The league then canceled another week of games. In other words, same day, same result. SportsCenter brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local Auto O'Reilly, O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
The Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks have agreed to a trade that will send Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos.
We knew Russell was a little dissatisfied last year with what was going on in Seattle.
Now there's a new Super Bowl contender in Denver.
Snoop Dogg! Yeah, we're going to talk about the West. We got to have a little West Coast love here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPN 2. So look at that division, guys. You got Justin Herbert with the Chargers. You got Derek Carr at the Las Vegas Raiders. Now you have Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos. And, of course, the biggest, baddest boy in that division when it comes to Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. Our man Dan Orlovsky said on First Take that he is taking Russell Wilson over Justin Herbert for the next 5 years. Keyshawn Johnson, the floor is yours.
Look, man.
As you scowl.
I understand.
As you were scowling.
I'm just, look, Russell Wilson is a really good quarterback in this league and a future Hall of Famer. There's no question about it. He was put in the right situation after he beat out Matt Flynn and went to two Super Bowls, won one, lost one, because they tried to win it with him. Since then, it's just been, you know, some success and big yardage early in the season, things of that nature. You're talking about over the next 5 years. If Dan Orlovsky said over the next 2 years, I would say, okay, yeah, I could believe in that. But over the next five, Russell Wilson's not going to be the same guy. He's going to eventually start to erode, where Justin Herbert, I can only see where he's ascending and continuing to elevate his game. They just signed Mike Williams back. The Denver Broncos don't have a Mike Williams or a Keenan Allen. They don't have that at the receiver position. So I don't know that is true over the next 5 years. You would rather have Russell Wilson over Justin Herbert. Because Justin Herbert, man, if Brandon Staley does anything good, Justin Herbert is going to find himself in a Super Bowl real soon.
Freddie, no way. No way Dan said that. Did Dan really say that?
Yeah, he did. Like this.
I just think that people have this viewpoint of Russell Wilson as being a slightly above average quarterback, and we've fallen in love with Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert is phenomenal. I have said multiple times he's going to win MVP of this league, and the Chargers should win a Super Bowl with him because of his play. But Russell Wilson is a rock star. I mean, Russell Wilson is a guy that has taken the Seattle Seahawks franchise in the last 5 or 6 years and kept them relevant, even though they have done front office-wise since 2016. So all those drafts, 53 players they've selected in Seattle, one has become an all-pro. One, and that's the punter. He's never been in a situation that he is in Denver right now. He's never had a place where talent-wise has been top five or top six in the NFL when it comes to scheme players, and scheme-wise has been one of the best schemes when it comes to the schemes in the NFL.
See, I told you.
See, I hate to jump back in here on you, Jay.
No,
but
all good. Do your thing.
First of all, he played with Marshawn damn Lynch. Okay, he's had DK Metcalf and Lockett. His offense has been pretty good. He had a young Jimmy Graham at the tight end spot. What the hell Dan talking about? He had an all-pro Hall of Fame left tackle. I mean, like, what are you talking about? And the defense was lights out.
So is do you think when Dan's making mention, I'm trying to do my best job at trying to understand the reasoning of Dan on this one, Freddie and Key. Do you think that is because the pieces around him in Denver, the probability of him potentially winning a Super Bowl is higher than the Chargers, and that's how he would equate success over the next 5 years, that leads to a Super Bowl?
I don't know that Denver from top to bottom are better than the Chargers. I don't know that. You know, if you – and I go back to this again, Freddie, you wasn't on our show. I don't even – you might have been resting up for working all night long when we're on in the morning. But
that's what I do.
Mark Slareth was on the show with us a couple weeks ago, and I keep going back to this because Stink is dialed in the Denver Broncos organization. He's on the ground floor in Denver. He came on the show, and we asked him if the Denver Broncos were a Aaron Rodgers away from going to the Super Bowl. So I want you to take a listen to that sound of our show a couple weeks ago with Mark Slareth.
I think it elevates them to a playoff team. Do I think it makes them a Super Bowl team, a Super Bowl contender? No. I still think there are some things that they have to address. I think their back end, their secondary, they need to – I mean, it's a really good secondary. I think they need another corner. They've got a couple of guys that are free agents they're going to have to look at. I still think they have a linebacking issue in the middle linebacker position nowadays. In the NFL, you got to have a dude that can fly sideline to sideline that can play all three downs because they'll trap you in that stuff from a formational standpoint and also from a hurry-up offense standpoint. So you got to have a dude that can fly. You got to have a dude that can cover the ground. I don't think they have that. I still think their defensive line needs to be addressed.
Now, mind you, that was Mark Slareth, Freddie and Jay, talking about Aaron Rodgers joining the team. Now, I'll say it again. Aaron Rodgers joining the Denver Broncos. That's what Stink said. Now, Russell Wilson joins them. Are you telling me that now that Russ has joined them, everything that Mark said just went away?
No,
it all got better?
I don't believe that, but I do believe in Vegas and that the odds have increased 50%. They are now 12-1 odds. That's a huge jump. So I hear what Stink is saying about Aaron Rodgers, but Russell Wilson does make this team better. Maybe not to the same degree it would have been with Aaron Rodgers, but he does make them better.
But, Jay, if this man just said that – they're not even possibly a playoff team with Aaron Rodgers. Think about what he said now.
Yeah, I hear.
Think
but
about
that,
it.
Because they also they need to fill a lot of gaps, but they could fill some of those gaps, though. Could they not?
They could fill them, but they just lost Noah Fant, the tight end, which to me is a blow to them, although they like the other tight end. That's a blow to them. Jerry Jeudy didn't play most of, if not all, last year. He's got to come back. Sutton, the other receiver, is still coming back off his ACL of 2 years ago. He's got to get back to form. I mean, it's just a lot. And then when you start talking about all those deficiencies and holes, they didn't do all of this. And I don't give a damn what nobody say, including Dan Orlowski. They didn't do all of this to go to the playoffs. They did all of this, three players in a hall of picks, to go to the Super Bowl. Not the Super Bowl 5 years from now. You don't do all of this to set yourself up 5 years from now when your quarterback is 30-something years old. That doesn't work like that. The Los Angeles Rams did what they did to do what, guys? To win the damn Super Bowl this year.
Right.
And they went out and they took care of business.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers acquired the greatest quarterback in NFL history and got rid of Jameis Winston that had phenomenal numbers except the turnovers to win the Super Bowl. That's why.
They're counting on Russell Wilson doing for them what Peyton Manning was able to do. And that's asking a lot for Russell Wilson at this point in his career and in that division with those other three bad boys in the AFC West. College basketball in the home stretch as we go down the further the line when it comes to championship week.
Let's
don't
go.
Forget today, ACC tournament quarterfinals. Starring Jay Williams and
that's
his
right.
Duke
it's
Blue
noon.
Devils.
That's right, baby.
Taking on the Buddy Boeheim Light Syracuse.
They
Orange.
Owe me, Freddie, because they didn't cover last game against UNC. They owe me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All that comes begins at 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. ACC Tournament quarterfinals all day long on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. With Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman, and Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. It's known as the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia, but they're going to show with a lot of hate tonight.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Ben did a lot of good things here. It didn't end well, just like marriages and all kinds of other things don't end well, right?
And we're going to play Brooklyn, and there'll be a lot said about it, and then it's going to go, and it's over. You know, there's no trophy given after the game.
First time you have that type of adversity, they can't keep high as Ben Simmons.
Well, it is definitely a divorce between Ben Simmons and Philadelphia, but Ben Simmons returns to divorce court tonight, but on the bench. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2 with Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams. I'm Freddie Coleman. By the way, tickets are over $4,000 tonight to
just
sit behind the bench. Ben Simmons returning to Philadelphia as a member of the Brooklyn Nets, not playing, but if you want to sit behind the bench and be part of the Tomato and Lettuce Gang, tickets costing $4,000. He's not even going to play. It is still the hot ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Let's bring in our man Anthony Gargano. Does a great job, part of 97.5, the Fanatic in the great city of Philadelphia. Anthony, I'm going to ask a dumb question, but of course I know the answer is going to be, what is this city going to be like today leading into tonight's game with Ben Simmons returning but not playing, just sitting on the bench?
Listen, to quote Apollo Creed, it's going to be a damn monster movie tonight. Ow!
Y'all crazy. What? So y'all set up, and as soon as this trade happened, Anthony, y'all just start marking down y'all calendar for this date, huh? You can't wait to boo Ben Simmons and make him nervous if you can.
Yeah, the goal is to make him cry.
Wow.
That's the goal. Oh, man, listen. You got to understand, right? This thing, this story is an amazing story. It's Thor, right? I want you to think about it. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, two brothers, right? And forever, it was thought that Joel wouldn't be able to last physically to build around and that Ben would be the guy to build around. Then they bring in Daryl Morey, and he's like, no, we're going to build around this guy, Joel. Ben is upset by a lot of the stuff. Ben quits on the city, and what happens? What happens? What happens is there is a whole mess of a situation, right? And it's like brother against brother. That's the thing. It's wild. And the whole thing is a story. It's biblical is what it is, guys.
Anthony, even if Ben, you guys get him to cry, what if the Nets win this game tonight at home?
Like, yeah, well, I mean, listen, I mean, I think the Nets are a formidable opponent. I mean, obviously, I mean, the goal is to win a chip. That's the goal. The goal is, has always been since the process began, was to win a chip. But, you know, you guys have to admit, the guy quit on the town. It's a big deal for one night. It's a regular season night, and the guy quit. And they want to blame the fan base, and they want to blame the organization. He just don't want to play here. He's running from his issues. And listen, I love the kid. I do. I always thought he could be a great, great player. Unfortunately, there is something that's blocking him from doing that. And this story is unlike any other. Do you remember a guy leaving, coming back? He didn't leave because they weren't a contender. He left in the beginning of a max contract deal. It's unbelievable. It's unprecedented.
Yeah. But, Anthony, do you think at all, and you'll scream at me for this, that the Philadelphia fan base had anything to do with him not wanting to be there? Or is you solely putting all this on Ben Simmons?
No. What did the fan base? There was a pandemic. There was nobody in the arena up until the last month of the season. This is the biggest ridiculous nonsense that they want to blame the fans all the time. When it's not true, it's not factually true. The fans, I bear witness to them trying, willing him early in his career to shoot the ball. They did not run him out of town. It's a fallacy. It's a lie. And it's not right.
Did y'all run Carson Wentz out of town? Because he's back. Y'all got big news with that one, huh?
That's insane. How about the biggest enemies of the state, both drivable? One's in Brooklyn and the other's in D.C. And now the fan base didn't drive him out. That was the Eagles organization. All right? And by the way, that kid was never right. When he got hurt and Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, and you saw the story that came out yesterday where he was bemoaning the team's success while he was rehabbing. I mean, come on. How could you accept? Let me ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Is it right to accept the behavior of Ben Simmons and Carson Wentz?
Depends on who you talk to.
I mean, is Ben Simmons' behavior acceptable? You guys tell me. Seriously, if you got a kid or a young person, and you allow that behavior? Really?
Well, see, Anthony,
you're right,
man.
You're right, Anthony. You're right on that.
I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. Y'all could be so harsh to people. No, Anthony, you could be so harsh to people, and if they already sensitive to a point, you lose them. Let's be real. Hey, man, stop. You know I'm telling you.
But Anthony, let me jump in here for one second, Anthony. That's exactly the point, though, Anthony. If you're not built to take it, you shouldn't be here, right? Like, and my thing is, you guys have given him so many chances.
Right?
You're giving him chances. Like, my thing, you either have the mental fortitude to fight through it. And, like, for me, like, I would be like, oh, okay, I didn't shoot. I'm going to come back. I'm going to drop 50 next game, not disappear.
Yeah,
so
that's you.
Yes.
You're wired that way. You're right.
So who gets the worst reception when they return back to Philadelphia? Is it Ben Simmons or Carson Wentz with the Washington Commanders?
Great, man. I think Ben, because Ben left for no reason. Wentz and the organization fell out, right? And he wanted out. And he was never, truthfully, Wentz was never really an East Coast guy. But Ben was supposed to be the savior of that franchise. He was the face of the process until Joel got healthy and moved him out. And then Harden comes in. Imagine, this town, please shoot the ball, Ben. They're begging him to shoot the ball. Now the beard comes in, and he's their dream. It's the greatest thing in the world. And they're going to win a chip.
They may never wake up after tonight in Philadelphia, no matter what the end result is going to be. Go get them, Anthony, man. Have a great time tonight, brother. Thanks for joining us.
Love you, Freddie. Love you, boys. Hey,
Yo, baby.
Hit him on Twitter, Anthony L. Gargano. He is the host of the Anthony Gargano Show, 10 to 2 p.m. Eastern time on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. Great to have Anthony Gargano joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Ben Simmons is supposed to be joining a big two in Brooklyn that may have its own issues. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
say, text, is he going to hang himself with bridge cables, which is pretty savage in and of itself.
He's still not strong enough.
Goodness gracious.
Wow.
Number one.
Like Carl, right? Is it fair to say?
No, I love him.
No, I'm worried about him.
I look at the size of him. I'm worried about him.
You think he's going to just go at any...
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Hello, brother. Good morning.
Perfect. Coming at you in 30. Thank you, sir.
It. Rick DiPietro, you've got about...
Oh, it's how convenient. You have a countdown clock. How convenient.
I'm just saying it works for me, so and it also works for Dave.
You know what? I got 40 seconds for you right here.
40 seconds
gonna,
for you
I'm
right
I'm going to butcher this entire
at,
segment.
At the, end of the day, at the end of the day, it's all love on this program.
Yeah, I love that we call everybody out. I love this show.
It's going to go sideways one day, I worry.
One day?
That's everything. Wait till you see this segment. Wait till you see this crosstalk.
I do not think this is rock bottom. I think we're headed there, and maybe this idea that is coming to fruition in the coming days. Maybe Monday,
it all starts to hit new depths of how bad things are on our show.
I'll take it to 8:07 today. Watch. So,
good. You know what? I don't doubt that you will, because I don't think you're all that capable. Let's bring him in from KJM, the great Jay Williams. Jay.
What's up, boys?
I don't know if you heard about what Rick did yesterday morning, because you know there's a hard out here. You guys have to get back to your show. Mm-hmm. He was on with us. With 11 seconds left, Rick decided to ask him a fresh, brand-new question.
Rick, what are we doing, question. Rick? Why would you put my co-host in that situation?
Jay, because you have a sense of humor. Key doesn't. I tried to say a funny joke. It fell flat, and then there was dead air. I had nothing.
What was the joke? Now you have to tell me the joke, because I couldn't hear it yesterday.
It wasn't all that good. Go ahead. Yeah. Tell him the joke.
No, we mentioned Christian McCaffrey, and I just a little throw-in because we only had a couple seconds left. I was like, yeah, but come on, Keith. You got Olivia Culpo in that deal. Nothing. Cricket. See? Thank you, Jay.
Oh. Look at Jay. Jay,
because I know who she is. That's a good deal. I mean, that's a good throw-in package on the tail end. I appreciate that.
Sweeten the deal up a little bit. Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Yeah, more than sweeten it, huh?
All right. The two of you, get your heads out of the gutter, please, for God's sakes. Jay, what do we have?
I'm on her IG
on
page right
today?
Now. I can't help myself, Rick. What?
What do we have?
Ooh, this picture is different. I have no idea what you're saying. I'm still on her IG page. What was your question again? Sorry, dude. I'm ready now. I'm focused.
He's going to ask you some lame question. Jay, can you tell us what's on the show today? Stop with that nonsense. It's garbage.
Jay, I'm not doing crosstalk anymore. I was hung out to dry yesterday, and I won't participate. Now I won't shut up.
Ask the man a real question. Don't mock him.
This is a legitimate question. People want to know.
I'm ready.
I'm sorry. Now you're exposed, pal. I'm sorry.
No, I'm seeing something not exposed on my IG page. Go ahead.
What is coming up on the show today, Jay?
Olivia Copeland. Should be a topic. No, guys, tonight is a night. I mean, come on. Tonight is March 10th. I've had this day circled in my calendar since the trade has gone down. We have Ben Simmons is not even playing, and I still think that the pay-per-view money for this game is going to be off the charts. The single shots we're going to see on every Ben Simmons face tonight, every facial expression, every fan interaction that he has is going to be appointment TV. Like, I don't even care what happens on the court. And think about this. I don't care about having Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, and James Harden on the court as much as I care about seeing how Ben Simmons handles the pressure and the booing and the yelling coming from the Philly fan base. That is worth the price of admission for this game.
Yeah, but Jay, he's not playing. Why even sit on the bench? Like, what are we doing here?
I don't understand that. I don't know. It's like, well, you don't want to play in the game, but you want to face the crowd by being on the bench. Like, so I just
it's worse.
Play in the game. Play. It makes you look worse. I can't. But guys, I've stopped a long time ago trying to understanding the reasoning behind how Ben Simmons operates. So he's giving me appointment TV. I'll be there to watch it.
How about the Knicks last night, Jay?
Three
you
in
always
a row.
Rag on the Knicks. That's a heck of a win.
That's a loaded statement, Dave. I don't appreciate that. Three in a row. Guys, I got to tell you, and every time I watch a Knick game, I'm just like, man, RJ Barrett is getting better and better and better. And there were parts of me that really questioned whether he could be a 1A guy. I would battle with some of my friends. I'm like, look, he's more like a Robin. He's a guy that could be 2 or 3 as it relates to superstars you have on your team. But I'm really starting to wonder that RJ Barrett could be a 1A. He could be a perennial all-star. Like, it feels like I'm starting to go down that rabbit hole when I watch him play because of how he's able to operate and how he's able to get his shot off. I still think, look, they're finally playing hard, what you expect to play for them each and every single night. I don't know if it's enough to make a playoff run down the stretch with 15 games left to go in the season, but I like what I'm seeing from R.J. Barrett.
Rick, you have any other questions, or should we let Jay go?
Thank you, Jay. You were terrific today.
Anything else about Olivia? No?
Terrific. Okay.
All good.
We'll talk to you soon.
That's all right, boys.
It's a great. It's a great.
Look, you got it.
Learning from your mistakes.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.